You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
My name is Darshan.
And I'm your host, Brad, and we're all the way here in Royal Oak, Michigan with Podcast Detroit, presented by 8-Bit Waffles, to talk about the Oscars this year. So last weekend, the Oscars event just took place with a lot of actual awards that were pretty monumental this year. And just kicking us right off with the Best Picture, which is the one that everybody always looks forward to the most, or it's the one that always gets talked about at least. For this year, it was Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, which is a fantastic movie.
Do you like that movie, Brad?
Oh, I love that movie. That movie is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a surreal love story. It was very artsy.
It's Guillermo del Toro. It's a monster love story. It's exactly what falls in what he would do.
AKA, I like to call Grinding Nemo.
I just prefer Lonely Island's way of the movie where Lady has sex with a fish man. But the films that were in the category for Best Picture were Call Me By Your Name, which is actually another really good film, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, which I know is a fan favorite on this podcast with Ferris and Alex.
I still have yet to see that one.
How?
They
even put it back in theaters Oscars.
They did even put it back in theaters. They even put Get Out back in theaters for a while, too.
Yeah.
But I was just too busy trying to catch up on all the new movies that I didn't get a chance to catch up on.
For shame. Anything, you should have saw Dunkirk while it was back in theaters. Hopefully they do another kind of like round tour with that one sometime
like
in the future.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those that are going to keep coming back for the nostalgia effect.
I know that Imagine does that a lot around here, is they'll bring back movies for like two or three showings, you know, every once in a while that are kind of older. Hopefully they'll do that with Dunkirk.
Yeah, so Get Out was the other one.
Yep.
Lady Bird.
Yeah, Lady Bird, which I know you saw that one.
Yeah, I saw Lady Bird. I thought it wasn't bad. It was like a kind of like a...
It was a coming of age story.
Yeah, coming of age story about a girl, you know, in high school and how she wants to kind of get out of her town and kind of go somewhere else for school. It was really nicely done. I thought, you know, I don't want to jump around really, but the best supporting actress was the mom that played in I, Tonya. I thought that the mom in this one did a really, really good job as well. So I don't know actors and actresses' names, you know, but I know where they play from other scenes and movies and shows. She's the sister of Roseanne in that TV show, Roseanne. That's the best way I can, or Sheldon's mom in Big Bang Theory.
I don't watch Big Bang Theory. That means nothing to me.
Well, either way, she's that person, and she plays the mom in that one, and I thought she did a great job playing a mom.
Yeah, like that was trying to think. Yeah, she was not nominated for the actress.
Oh, yeah, she never even got put on the scale, but I thought it was pretty good.
Because I remember there was an actress from Lady Bird nominated, but yeah, it's the lead actress. The lead actress from Lady Bird.
And then the other one on the list was Phantom Thread, which I heard was okay. I heard the costume design was like amazing.
For the Phantom Thread? Yeah. See, I don't even remember anything about that one. That one completely went under my radar.
And then The Post?
That one was actually pretty good.
Did you see that one?
I did see that one.
With
that
Meryl
one,
Streep?
Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. That one... The acting was good. The story was okay, but it was fairly accurate to the events. That's where a lot of the people, because I actually looked up on Wikipedia and everything going through, like, how accurate was this? And it was fairly accurate. It was just very one side from the Post side of things.
Okay.
Not so much what happened with the New York Times and all the other kind of newspapers.
Hollywoodify.
Yeah, they Hollywoodified it quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
But it was still something.
The other one was Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Which is another fantastic movie.
I like that one quite a bit as well.
Yeah, that one, was the movie that just had Oscars written all over it, front to back. Like, the plot, the actors, everything just had, we're making a movie for the Oscars, and it's fabulous.
I mean, some people, from my feedback that I got, they either, like, liked it or they kind of hated it, and most of it had to do with a little bit with the ending.
I could see that a little bit.
And, you know, how they handled that. And it's just like, okay, so what happens from here, you know? So from some people, I thought it was a great movie. From some feedback that I got from others, it was a good movie overall, but with, like, kind of a weird ending to it. But I understood it.
I can see that critique. I can understand that critique.
I can understand it too, yeah.
But at the same time, I disagree with them.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
I liked it. I can understand why that. They have a reason, but yeah, I liked it.
But yeah, for Best Picture, The Shape of Water was the one that I was hoping for the most that would get that one. The next one in there would have been Get Out for me, but yeah, I'm glad The Shape of Water won because it definitely deserved it, because that was the first time that Guillermo del Toro won in Emmy, I believe, or an Oscar.
And then for Best Actress, we've got Frances McDormand with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And
which, looking at the other nominees, I think she definitely deserved it the most out of them all.
Who was she in that movie? I'm terrible with names.
She was the main character.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was the main character in the movie. Then you had, I believe it's all
she
the.
Played, like, yeah. She played like the mom. Right.
Yes. Yeah. She was the mom.
Yeah. She deserved
the one that put up the billboards and everything. Yes. That was her.
I'm like a strong, independent woman that don't need no man kind of character. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of dig that, especially for this kind of year and like the whole thing going on with, you know, women in the movement and stuff, especially in Hollywood. Not that there's any correlation and, like, you know, that's why she deserves it, but it just, you know, brings that out a little bit. You know, her character, it's strong.
She did a fabulous job in that movie. But then you also had Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water, Margot Robbie from I, Tonya. I'm going to butcher this one. Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse. Yeah, Saoirse Ronan.
From Lady Bird. And then Meryl Streep from The Post. Definitely. They chose the right person for that one, you know, because I would normally be like, The Shape of Water needs this one. But Sally Hawkins, she plays a mute in the movie. So it's not as it doesn't have something that defines her as a person. I'm not going to see her in another movie and go, oh, she's the mute from The Shape of Water. I could see her going outside of that cast and doing something else. Frances McDormand, I'm always going to see her as that woman from Three Billboards. Even if she pops into any other movie, I'm always going to go, oh, she's the one that did that fantastic performance in this movie.
She always kind of is typecasted in a way to be that, like, strong, like, kind of bitchy woman, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
She's just got that, like, not like an attitude, but she's just like, you know, reserved. You know, and I see that in a lot of movies and things that she plays. Well, that's just me.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. And then for the lead actor, Gary Oldman with The Darkest Hour.
Yes, finally, Gary Oldman gets an Oscar. This man deserves one. He needed one for a long time now. He's been in all these movies for such a long time and has done an amazing job with almost each and every single one of them. He needs one. It was like, you know, back in a couple of years back when everybody wanted Leo to have an Oscar, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. And then he finally won.
Yeah. And here I was, everyone was thinking about Leo and I was like, where's Gary Oldman at? Come on. Gary Oldman's been in the game way longer than Leo has. And he's been doing stuff like Fifth Element. You remember the bad guy that he played in Fifth Element?
Yeah, he's done a lot of...
Dude, he plays these, like, obscure characters, like, you would never recognize, you know, with costuming and things like that. But, oh my gosh, he's so good.
Yeah, and
I'm so happy he finally got one.
Yeah, and then for playing Winston Churchill, which he had that role down. Like, I don't know if the makeup department obviously had a lot to do with his transformation there, but he became Winston Churchill.
Oh, yeah. Like, even on set, like, he would constantly have a cigar in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it became an issue because he had, I guess, nicotine poisoning at one point.
Yeah.
Because in between, like, filming, you just have it always with him because he would be in character. It's just...
Yeah, he definitely deserved that. But the other nominees we had were Timothée Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis from The Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out, Denzel Washington from Roman J. Israel Esquire.
So Daniel Day-Lewis, I think, won an Oscar a year or two back for Lincoln.
I do not recall.
I think that's
that
what.
But yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. He's up there with, like, you know, Gary Oldman and stuff like that. Like, when I think of, like, the top two actors, mm-hmm. I think of Gary Oldman, Daniel Day-Lewis, like, you know, neck and neck. Denzel Washington, I saw him in Roman J. Israel Esquire, and I understand why he was
it good?
The movie was okay, but I understand why they nominated him because – I think the lawyer or the person that he plays was somewhat like on the spectrum or had some sort of like idiosyncrasies with them that were associated with this character. And like, I think maybe a little bit of like mild autism. I'm not sure. But the way that he kind of played that person and his personality, like, and how it like communicated with others on screen, it was pretty decent. I definitely don't think it's like Oscar winner worthy, but yeah, I could see why, you know, it'd be Oscar nominee worthy.
See, for this one, if it wasn't for Gary Oldman's, you know, knockout performance in Darkest Hour, I would be angry if Daniel Kaluuya did not win for Get Out, because that was perfect. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's true.
I can't think of anything else that he's been in, but this was the role he was made for.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to see him in more movies.
After seeing him in Black Panther, yeah, it's definitely the role that he was meant to be in.
But yeah, so there was that. Then we had Best Director, which, of course, was won by Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. This one, it kind of, as much as I love The Shape of Water, it did hurt me a little bit that Jordan Peele didn't win this one for Get Out. Because this was his breakthrough in being a director for a movie. I can't remember if he was a director on the set of Keanu or if he was just one of the writers.
But you can't take that kind of movie seriously.
It's a different kind of movie. Yeah. So this was his big one. I was pretty much as soon as the nominees were announced and kind of shown off and everything like that, the first thing that I saw for the director was Jordan Peele for Get Out, and I was like, that's the one that wins this one, I hope.
Yeah.
And I'm not sad that The Shape of Water won, but I still wish that Jordan Peele won for Get Out, because I think he deserves it wholeheartedly, especially since Guillermo del Toro did end up getting the one for the best movie, which it 100% deserves. But then we also had the director for Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig, then Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan, and then The Phantom Thread with Paul Thomas Anderson. So Christopher Nolan's won an Oscar before, right?
What was that again?
Christopher Nolan's won an Oscar before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think for like Inception or something, right?
I want to say he did. Yeah. Hold on. There is a computer in front of me. Yeah, I want to say he... No, he's always just been a nominee.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was a nominee for Best Picture of Inception, Best Screenplay, and Original Screenplay for Memento. So yeah, he definitely... I thought he won one before. I guess not.
I mean, here's the thing about the director's list this year. All the people that are nominated definitely deserve to be nominated. There isn't anything that felt like political in any way. You know what I mean? All the people here deserved it for this one. I think all of them did a great job.
Yeah. And then, Darshan, do you want to read off the original score?
You mean the original songs?
Original score. So for original songs, that one's a lot harder for me to kind of. Well, I mean, did you see the only Marshall one, or Mudbound?
No, I haven't.
Because I can Mudbound. Say Coco was a good song, but.
Okay, yeah. So the one from Coco was done by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. It was called Remember Me.
Yes.
And it was a decent one. And it's kind of funny, but Robert Lopez now is the only person in the history of the universe to have a double EGOT. You know what an EGOT is, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yeah.
And he's the only person to have like a double of each, you know? So he's like an all powerful being when it comes to, you know, the world.
Who, Lin-Manuel finally got his EGOT last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And his wife or sister, I believe. I don't know who it is. The other Lopez has an EGOT as well.
But yeah.
Yeah, they wrote that, like, you know, a Frozen song.
It was really good, though. It's one of those songs that I could see people actually listening to and not just little kids. Like, I could see remixes happening.
Yeah, it's what you watch the movie for.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there's the original score.
Yeah, original score, Shape of Water. Alexandra Desplat, yeah. And John Williams as well was nominated for this one. It's Star Wars, The Last Jedi, which I'm surprised that he didn't win for. But The Shape of Water, it was pretty good. It was very artsy done. Also, Hans Zimmer was nominated for Dunkirk. And Johnny Greenwood was nominated for Phantom Thread. And Carter Burwell was nominated for Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Yeah, so Shape of Water won this one for original score. In my personal feeling and opinion, I felt that John Williams should have got it for The Last Jedi. But then again, I haven't seen Dunkirk, so you tell me.
Dunkirk has amazing sound to it, but I can't. None of it is stuff that I would listen to outside of the movie. It was all very powerful for what was going on in the movie at the time, but I'm not going to go listening to it in my car like I have for Star
Let
Wars
me
and stuff. Like
that Dunkirk soundtrack,
right? It's not quite like that.
Pulling up at a stoplight, you hear this, man?
Like I can say, Dunkirk would be a horribly different movie without the soundtrack. But at the same time, it's nothing that I'm going to go listening back to by itself. And then John Williams, I can't agree with The Last Jedi in this one because it didn't have the same sound to me as previous Star Wars movies.
You know what?
He does a good job.
I agree with you on that one.
But
it wasn't like compared to the one, The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as good.
Yeah.
You're right. But I mean, from the overall like list of ones there, you know? I thought that because he stood out the most that he would get it, but
I think in terms of people recognizing his name, John Williams is the one that people would recognize right off the bat on that list. Hans Zimmer, people recognize him that are huge movie buffs.
Anything associated with Christopher Nolan.
Pretty much, yeah. So I kind of have to this is a rough one because I can't remember any of the music from Three Billboards really making me go, oh my god, this is great. Last Jedi was kind of lackluster if you compare it to other Star Wars movies. Dunkirk was good, but I'm never going to listen to it outside the movie. So it's kind of like The Shape of Water had this one in the bag without even needing to try, really.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of Oscar nominations.
Okay, so for cinematography, this one was a no-brainer for me.
Oh, yeah.
The nominee and the winner for this one was Blade Runner 2049, and it was Roger Deakins. It was just awesome.
Well, the other nominees, we had Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and The Shape of Water. Personally, I would have voted Dunkirk on this one.
Really?
Oh, yeah. For cinematography, Dunkirk had it down right. Like, for the three modes of transportation it had, it managed to encapsulate the feeling of being on each of those. It managed to transfer, you know, from, like, land or not from land, from like the giant boats to the planes and everything, even though it was all on different time kind of, you know, lapses, it all flowed very well. The cinematography for that movie is top notch. One of the best.
It has to do with director. Cinematography has to do with, like, I guess the way the picture is done, like the coloration, you know, for example. But
even with the cinematography for that one, where it brings you into the moment, it didn't feel jarring going to the next kind of thing. It all flowed perfectly together. It was done just so well for that movie that Blade Runner 2049, great cinematography. But I 100% would have voted Dunkirk on this one.
I think the thing about Blade Runner 2049 is it's less of a story, more of a cinematography movie. If you think about it overall, it is very like artsy done. And there's like a giant CGI woman that's like leaning over and like looking at, you know, him. And he goes into the desert and the desert scenes are done very nicely with the coloration done very well. And the hues and the saturations are just, you know, phenomenal with how they match the kind of the mood and the situation that's going on with each scene of the movie. That's why I liked it the most. But I think if Blade Runner, you know, I think it needs to win at least one thing for doing for doing something. And if it's going to win anything, this is going to be it.
Well, hold on. Dunkirk didn't win anything. Because unless I'm missing
one of the... No, I don't think Dunkirk won anything.
Oh, no, it won for film editing.
Oh, yeah, film editing.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess Dunkirk got something. Yeah. I still think that it should have won for cinematography, though. But yeah, Blade Runner, if Dunkirk was released another year with all the other contestants, Blade Runner would have had this one in the bag 100% in my mind. Because, the cinematography for The Shape of Water was good, but Blade Runner still topped it. Quite a lot. And then I honestly haven't seen Mudbound. That's the one movie that keeps popping up on the list that I haven't seen.
It's getting popular, right? Like, it's on all the streaming networks and whatnot. So
yeah, I gotta check that one out for sure. Now that I know that it's been nominated for all this stuff. Then we have original screenplay, which the winner of this one, 100% justified, Get Out, Jordan Peele. So the other nominees, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, The Big Sick, which was Kumail Nanjiani's
movie. Yeah, I saw that one actually in theater.
It's a good one.
It was decent.
It's actually based on a true story,
too. Yeah, true story about him, yeah.
Yeah. Then we have Lady Bird and The Shape of Water. 100% agree with Get Out on this one. The other movies are all fantastic. I haven't seen Lady Bird, but I can attest that the other three movies on this list, go see them. 100%. Yeah, along with Get Out.
I like them all. I got to say, for original screenplays this 2017 year, they did a decent job with these.
Yeah. They're good movies. Go see them if you haven't.
The Big Sick, I know, is available if you're a Prime member on Amazon.
Is it available on Amazon Prime?
You could probably grab it there. It's an Amazon Studios movie, which was interesting when I first saw the movie in theaters. It was kind of another thing was interesting is I saw it like opening weekend and I was the only person in the theater. So I don't know.
I always love that.
I don't know how the sales went for that one, but
I don't think it hit it big really sales, well but it was
only in theaters for like 2 weeks.
And it was very high critical approval though.
Yeah.
So
it went straight to Amazon Video like immediately. Right after.
That's probably where this one belongs, though. Because not many people are going to hear about it or think anything about it. Nothing against Kumail Nanjiani, but he's not exactly a big name outside of like the comedian or the geek culture kind of people, you know. But if you fall into one of those camps, you know who he is very well. But he definitely would do better on like a streaming service, kind of like a comedy special or like Mike Birbiglia's movie, which did not do that great in theaters, but as soon as it hit streaming, it just skyrocketed in popularity. Then we have adapted screenplay. So this one is where it's based on a book or something that already existed. So we had Call Me By Your Name, which was the winner of this one. Very good movie. Disaster Artist, the one I wanted to win, which is based on...
Yeah, it didn't win. Come on.
I know.
Deserved to win.
So Disaster Artist is the one that's based on the book written about the making of the worst movie ever that ended up being one of the greatest movies for a cult classic, The Room. Then you had Logan based on the comic books Logan. Then you had Molly's Game and Mudbound, that movie that keeps appearing here that I still haven't seen. But those ones, this was another great category for screenplays. Besides Mudbound, which I can't comment on, the rest of the movies are great. I wish that Disaster Artist
won. You
saw
Molly's Game, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that one was fantastic. Pretty decent. Oh, yes.
It's another one of those I'm a strong, independent woman that don't need no man.
Yeah.
Kind of movies.
Yeah, it took me like three tries of going to the movie theaters before I finally got a chance to see it.
It was good.
It was,
you know what's cool about that movie that I liked about it a lot, especially in society today and in movies today, is that the woman in this movie was not portrayed in like a slutty, sexy, sexualized type of manner or way. It was a woman that was just really on the grind and hustling hard and doing what she wanted to do to be successful. And it wasn't about like seducing or anything like that, you know, someone else to become successful and accomplish. And I thought that was really cool to see that in the movie for once. You know, funny, but you kind of see women, in, you know, portrayed in a different light all the time when it comes to film and cinema. But it's cool to see like a movie like this do something differently in a way that was in a way kind of positive, you know,
kind of like Atomic Blonde, where it was just done right with a female cast lead without it being all preachy of, look, we have a female as the lead.
Yeah. No preachiness whatsoever in this one.
Yeah, it was. It's a great movie. If you get a chance to watch it, watch it. Same with Logan. I absolutely love that movie. We actually did a podcast when that movie came out, and yeah, that's an
old
one.
That was earlier in the year.
Yeah, that was like, I want to say February, March, around there.
That's a good one to catch up on if you haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah, it's definitely a good movie. And then Disaster Artist.
Yeah, The Disaster Artist. What we recommend for those that are listening is if you haven't seen The Disaster Artist yet, check out The Room.
Yes.
There's a movie called The Room created by Tommy Wiseau, and it's absolutely awful and crappy movie. And
you're going to have a hard time sitting through it the first
awful.
Time.
You're not even going to be able to probably sit through it. You're going to have to like stare at your phone or stare at your watch a few times. But if you're staring at your phone while watching this movie, what we recommend that you do is if you're watching it alone or with somebody, go on Google and look up this movie and look up all the various, I guess, tropes that are associated with it. And you'll start to see the connection as to why it's a cult classic. And, you know, you can look at, you know, various scenes that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise while watching it, while looking at, you know, the list of things that are there. Like, I guess in the background of the movie on the set, all the pictures, there's no pictures of family. There's pictures of spoons.
Yes.
So like whenever there's a picture of a spoon on the screen, people in the theaters that go to this movie will throw a spoon at it. But like there's little subtle cult classic reasons why people watch and enjoy this movie and catch all the nuances and just take a look while you're watching this movie, browse online and see what those are, because it's worth checking out. And then go see the Disaster Artist, because it'll make all those connections kind of, you know, link up when you're watching this movie.
Yeah. If you can ever catch a screening at a theater for The Room, go. Don't even consider it. Just go. It is well worth it. And if you've never seen The Room before, I highly recommend watching it at home first, just so you know what you're in for. But you're going to have a blast at the theater regardless, even if it's the first time you're seeing it, because that's how Ferris actually saw it, was I went there with him and James, and we went into the theater, and it was the first time Ferris had seen it. He was asking us, how's this going to go? And we were just like, just calm down, enjoy the movie. You're going to enjoy it, trust me. And it was good. I think it was like right after we saw that one movie about Hugh Jackman going into space. Too. I'm trying to remember what movie that was, but it was another terrible movie that came out this year.
Geostorm?
Yes, Geostorm.
That wasn't Hugh Jackman. That was Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler. That's right. It's one of them.
It's so bad you can't even remember it. Like, that's the kind of movie Geostorm was, is that, like, literally, like, 3 days after I saw it, I was like, what was that movie that I just saw? Like, I literally forgot what it was.
Obviously, it didn't make a good impression on me because I didn't even remember who the real lead actor was.
It didn't make an impression on the Oscars either, so.
Hey. No, thank God. I would be kind of sad if it made an impression on the Oscars, considering Suicide Squad made an impression on the Oscars. Now you know how bad Geostorm was. But then we had the live action short films. I didn't get a chance to see any of these.
No.
I never get a chance to watch any of the live action short films that are always.
Elementary, The 11 O'Clock, My Nephew Emmett, Watu Wote, or All of Us. Nothing. Well, then again, who does? I mean, it's not like they're portrayed in mainstream, you know, movie theaters or even the small theaters around here locally.
Yeah.
So it's not like you really have a chance to be exposed to any of that.
I think there's a film festival that happens here locally that they kind of show them at, but that's about it. But yeah, I never get a chance to see any of those. I always hear people talk about them, but I've never actually seen any of the live action short films that are nominated.
Short subject. One is Heaven is the traffic jam on 405.
Which was the winner.
Yeah, that was a winner. Then Heroin. Then Edith and Eddie. Knife Skills. Traffic Stop.
Yeah.
Film editing. You want to talk about that one, Brad?
Best film editing? That's the one that Dunkirk actually won.
Yeah.
Which, looking at the nominees, makes me sad that Dunkirk won, because Baby Driver 100% deserved that one.
Yeah, yeah. Baby Driver was nominated for film editing, which I agree with you on that one. The scenes, they were very good.
Yes.
I, Tonya, no. I don't
just
even,
no.
No. I did not like it for the very reason because of the special effects and the CGI. Her face, Margot Robbie's face, was superimposed onto a stunt figure skater person during the
action
scenes.
Oh, and it didn't look right.
And it never looked right once.
Yeah, you said it was kind of like Superman in Justice League, where you're just like, something's off about this.
Here's the thing. Like, was his name Henry Cavill or something like that? Superman in Justice League, you guys like pointed it out to me, and I didn't notice it.
Okay? Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was, to me, it was done well. Margot Robbie and I, Tonya, it was awful. It was so awful that I couldn't stray away from looking at her face and enjoying the movie because the special effects were done so bad, like on her face, superimposed on a skater. It felt like, okay, you remember when Jay Leno back in the day used to do those videos of like people that had their face superimposed on something, like, you know, Obama, you know, walking around and doing like a funny dance on like the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like something like that. It was just awful.
Or it was made to look goofy.
Yeah. Like, intentionally. So, no.
Just no.
Because of that, you couldn't get past it. And that has something to do with editing.
Yeah. But the other nominees were The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which were both very good for the film editing. But I still think Baby Driver deserved that one.
Yeah, Baby Driver, I think, is a neck-and-neck one with Dunkirk.
I mean, you haven't seen Dunkirk, though.
Yeah, but you're telling me it's Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the editing was done very well on it. But at the same time, I think Baby Driver deserved that one a little bit more. It was done very well, but still got to go with Baby Driver.
So my favorite one out of all this is the visual effects category.
Which
Blade Runner 2049 won for this one. The other ones that were nominated in this category were Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kong Skull Island, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and War for the Planet of the Apes.
I 100% agree with Blade Runner on this. When it comes to visual effects, like, Kong Skull Island did some great stuff. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 managed to make it look like a comic book during the movie, which was great. Star Wars, it didn't do anything more impressive than previous Star Wars movies, in my opinion. And then War for the Planet of the Apes, again, looks great.
Nothing that Avatar didn't do already.
Right.
It's all mocap.
So I got to agree with Blade Runner on this one. 100% getting that one. The rest of the movies are good, but Blade Runner definitely deserved this one.
You know what I'm surprised wasn't nominated, and you're probably going to think this too, is, at least from my perspective, is Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
I still have not sat down to torture myself.
I'm sure like half, if not 90% of the world has not seen this movie.
I think you might be the only one.
I'm pretty much the only one that I know of that has ever seen this movie. But I liked that one, and I liked the graphics in it. You know, I thought it was really decent, and I'm surprised it wasn't nominated.
I'm glad it wasn't nominated, because then I can say that I've seen all the movies that were nominated in this category, and I wouldn't feel bad. But yeah, I can say that Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I get why it was nominated, but I don't see why it was nominated at the same time for this one. It was done very well.
How is it done any different than any other Marvel movie?
Yeah. And then Kong Skull Island, I can see why that one, because that one was done very well for it. Star Wars, I already said my comment on that one. And then War for the Planet of the Apes, same thing. It just didn't do anything too impressive. So then the animated feature, which is a hard one to go on, because the rest of the nominees, besides the breadwinner, were not even good movies. Coco won that one, as it should, 100%.
Yeah, as expected with any Pixar movie that comes out, you know, it generally wins the Oscar for that year, generally.
The animated feature category always seems like an insult until you get to, like, the Disney nominees. Besides that, the rest of the nominees are always the Boss Baby. That should never appear as a nominee for an Oscar anywhere, ever. I can't imagine why that would be nominated for an Oscar. Then Ferdinand, which you said was not a very good movie.
What about, like, here's the thing, and this is why I think the Oscar is kind of like political and bureaucratic, and we all know this and we all believe this, I'm sure, but like, give me like a Studio Ghibli film or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the problem with that is it's not done in the U.S.
Is that why it has to be a
I
US
think it has to
film,
be
has to be Hollywood,
or no, the Red Turtle was,
yeah, the Red Turtle was done a couple of years back, or a year or two,
I don't know,
but you get what I mean, right?
Yeah,
like, there's tons of anime out there, there's tons of,
I mean,
films.
2 years ago, Your Name should have been nominated for
Your
one.
Your Name was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it always seems like just a dud category
it's
to
like,
me.
Give it to the Disney Pixar movie, call it a day, because that's what we do every year anyways. You
yeah.
know, like, I don't know what's up with that. Maybe Disney pumps the money into the votes and gets it every year.
I mean, they don't really have to. They just had to go, look, we're on the ballot, and people go, yeah, that's the only movie on here.
It's a conspiracy, I tell you.
But then we have the supporting actress. So for this one, we have Allison Janney for I, Tonya as the winner.
She's the mom.
Is she the mom in I, Tonya?
Yeah, I think so.
Then Mary J. Blige in Mudbound, that movie that keeps popping up here. Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread. Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird. And Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water, which...
So Octavia Spencer, I think, won an Oscar already for supporting actress in a different movie.
Did she?
Yeah.
Let me see.
And Allison Janney plays the mother in I, Tonya, and I'm pretty sure Laurie Metcalf plays the mother in Lady Bird as well.
Yeah, Octavia Spencer won an Emmy in 2012 for the movie The Help.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, she deserved the one for The Shape of Water too, I think.
So, for me, it was a battle between two mothers, because – it was the one from I, Tonya, and it was the one from Lady Bird, and I was talking about earlier how I loved the portrayal of the mother in the Lady Bird. But Allison Janney did a really, really good job with playing Tonya Harding's mother. I think it was very Hollywoodified and, like, very exaggerated, her mm-hmm. character type. I don't really necessarily think that that's who that person was in person and how Tonya Harding was raised. But the way that she portrayed it, it's good stuff. Have you had a chance to check out I, Tonya?
I, Tonya is one of those movies that I actually have not gotten to see yet.
She makes the movie.
Yeah, because yeah. I remember you told me, don't see this one in theaters. Wait until it's on streaming. Yeah. And I've just been holding out for that since then. Because that was the day you got out of the theater. Like, I saw you like 3 hours after you finished seeing the film. And I remember going, so how was it? Wait for streaming. That was the only thing you said. I've just been holding out since then. But yeah, I personally, I would have gone with Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. But I, as you can probably tell by now, I just loved that movie so much. I just liked everything about it. So there was that. Then we have another amazing category here with production design. This is one that I usually get behind 100%. I actually have that debate in my head for several minutes over who I was hoping would win this one. For this one, I actually had Dunkirk in my head for this one. I didn't think that it would be The Shape of Water for production design. But
what about Blade Runner?
Blade Runner was more cinematic than the production design on it, in my opinion, for where it, which it did get the Oscar for that one.
Yeah, so just to point out, the winner for the production design was The Shape of Water.
Yes.
And then the other nominees were Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner 2049, Darkest Hour, and Dunkirk.
Darkest Hour did a really good job on that one, now that I'm thinking about it.
Really?
I think that I still think Dunkirk did the best job, personally, but Darkest Hour would definitely... Yeah, I can get behind the nominees for this one, except for Beauty and the Beast, I believe. Because, yeah, I could see any of them really winning except for Beauty and the Beast. If that one won, I'd be a little sad. But it definitely had its mark in there. Then there is this category, which was stolen from the movie that truly deserved it for sound mixing. Dunkirk won this one. I will say, Dunkirk has fabulous sound, but they totally stole that Oscar from my favorite movie of the year, Baby Driver, which 100% deserved that in every way.
I think Baby Driver should have won Best Soundtrack because the music was awesome. It really was. It was a kid wearing the headphones the whole time just jamming out.
I mean, literally the premise of that movie was Edgar Wright going, I want to make a movie based around this amazing soundtrack that he kind of already had in his head. He worked backwards and made a fabulous movie. But the other nominees for sound mixing.
I know Joanne would point out in regards to sound mixing for Dunkirk, the surrealism and the immersion effect that she
lowering the sound when it got tense and everything like that.
You know,
and
she would experience I think when she was watching that movie in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely did it. But I have that huge fanboyism for Edgar Wright, and I just want him to win. So I have to go with Baby Driver on that one personally. But the rest of the nominees, you know, Blade Runner 2049, I thought it was a little over the top at times, but the sound mixing was done well. The Shape of Water, which I do not recall the sound mixing, which I can't remember if that's a good or a bad thing about it.
It's kind of funny. Like, I don't get why it was nominated, and I don't get why it was nominated even for the soundtrack. When I think of that movie and I see that movie, I don't...
It was all visual.
Yeah, it was visual. It was very artsy, but I don't necessarily tie the music to it.
Yeah, I don't recall the sound in that movie at all, which could be a raving review for it, or it could be that it just wasn't... It definitely wasn't the focal point of the movie. That's for sure. And then Star Wars The Last Jedi. Yeah, the sound mixing was done well on that one. Especially during some scenes, it was done very well.
It's a Lucasfilm. It's got to be done right.
But, yeah, Dunkirk. Yeah, no, it's definitely supposed to be Baby Driver on that one. I can't even. Then sound editing. Same thing.
Yeah, Dunkirk again.
Dunkirk again. Same winner. Nominees for all that one as well.
Yeah, Baby Driver.
Again, Blade Baby Runner, Driver should have won.
Star Wars.
Yep. Then we have costume design. This one is one where I think Shape of Water actually completely deserved 100%. But it went to The Phantom Thread, which you have said is not good.
The movie was all right, but I can see the reason why it won costume design.
Okay.
The whole entire focal point of the movie is the dresses and the fashion and the clothing. So it just makes all the sense in the world why.
See, it's hard for me to take this category seriously since last time Suicide Squad won. So I'm kind of glad The Shape of Water didn't win this one. But at the same time, I'm sad that Shape of Water didn't win this one because it was Phantom Thread, Beauty and the Beast, Darkest Hour, The Shape of Water, and Victoria and Abdul.
Yeah, if I had to guess that if Phantom Thread didn't win, it would have been Victoria and Abdul. It just felt like one of those very like royal-esque type of movies. So, but Phantom Thread definitely deserved it.
Okay. Then we had makeup and hairstyling. Darkest Hour won this one. I 100% agree.
Yeah, because Gary Oldman looks like what? Like Lyndon B. Johnson, right?
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill, yeah.
Yes. You were close.
I was close. It's one of those oldie timey dudes.
But yeah, the other nominations were Victoria and Abdul and then Wonder, which that's the first nominee for that one. Wonder. That's a great movie.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but isn't that movie with like the kid in the messed up face?
Yes.
So you're telling me that somebody won a nomination for an Oscar for
makeup and hairstyle.
Yeah, making a kid look like he's got a messed up face.
It was a good movie, though. I'm kind of glad it got a nomination at all. It's a weird category for it, but I'm thinking, I don't know if it would stand a chance in any other category. It was a good movie, but it doesn't really stand up to any of the other nominees for other categories. Then we had supporting actor. Winner of that one was Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards.
Totally deserved it. Yeah.
Honestly, I would have gone with Woody Harrelson,
you
who
think
was also
so?
I love Woody Harrelson in everything he's in.
Okay, yeah. So Sam Rockwell, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, William Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards again. Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, and then Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World. I have to disagree with you, bro. Sam Rockwell all the way.
He did a great job. But Woody Harrelson, though.
No. Sam Rockwell made me hate him, okay? When somebody makes
That's
me
true.
Hate the guy, that means he did a good enough job from an acting perspective.
And you didn't hate the actor. You hated the character he played.
I hated the character, which in reality, subconsciously, I hated the actor because he did such a good job at playing the guy that I hated him.
That guy is such a jerk. I hope he doesn't get any further in his acting career. He's too good.
Yeah. I thought that was that kind of thing. And, you know, he deserves one. He's been playing always these minor league type of, you know, characters. They're never big ones. I don't even think he's ever been a lead in any movie that I know of, Sam Rockwell. And even if he has, it's not something that I truly, you know, remember specifically. And, you know, he deserves it for this one, playing the cop that he did. You know, he was very, like, ignorant and things like that. And he did a pretty decent job of beating up that guy across the street and throwing him outside the window. And
I just
liked it. I thought it was pretty good from supporting.
This is actually his first nomination for an Oscar, and he won it. So
I think he won a Golden Globe, too, for this.
That's very possible. Because, yeah, Woody Harrelson has actually been nominated 3 times now, and he has not won one yet, sadly. But, yeah, that was the Oscars for this year.
And I also have another point with that. Woody Harrelson didn't necessarily support
the
main character. Sam Rockwell did.
That's true.
Even in the end of the movie. So what do you want to do?
That's true.
You want to go after this guy or not?
But yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it. I still disagree with it. But I can see it.
It's all good, man. You're entitled to your own opinion. Absolutely.
But yeah, that was the Oscars 2018. It actually, a lot of good choices this year. Obviously, we didn't agree with all of them, but it was done very well this year. And The Shape of Water 100% deserves for Best Picture. There's a couple categories that I don't think it should have won, but Best Picture is the one that I do agree with 100% that it had down.
I'm just so glad that this year's Oscars weren't so whitewashed, man. Like, there was a little bit of diversity in it, you know? Like, we got Guillermo del Toro, you know? We got, The Shape of Water. We got Get Out, you know?
Get Out. Jordan Peele was the first African-American to win Best Screenplay, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the pictures of Keegan from Key and Peele's kind of
standing up and clapping.
That was just great to see,
you know,
those pictures.
What I found out not too long ago was that the first person that was African American to win a female Oscar was Halle Berry back in like 2002.
Really?
Yeah, that's how recent it was for a female actress to win an Oscar that was African American. And I was like, "What? Like, it took that long?"
I mean,
that long.
In the Oscars' defense, there weren't that many female African-American actors out there.
And there's not that many films that portray or give those people the opportunity to have
in a lead role.
Yeah, in a lead role or supporting role or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I see more diversity in film and that the Oscars represents that diversity going forward. I don't want it to be like a whole token thing, like, hey, give this guy an Oscar for – you know, being the only person that did this when, you know, that's
it should go to who deserves it.
Yeah.
But we want to see more of that actually show up in movies that deserve it.
I want more diversity and I want it based on the content of their character.
Yeah.
In the movie.
But that was the Oscars. Now you know what we thought, but what do you guys think? Let us know online on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we will catch you guys next time on The Breakfast Table.
See you guys later. Enjoy the movies.
Yes. Go see all the movies nominated.
All of them.
Including Mudbound, which we will probably go see later.